Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Founders Grid, sponsored by Gabor.io. Today, we have Braden Burns. Braden Burns is an experienced professional who helps companies hire remotely. Braden, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you. Thank you for having me and inviting me to the show.
So can you give us a brief background about what you've been doing recently and prior to this?
Yeah, absolutely. So for the past about year and a half, I've actually been working with a company called HireVue. And HireVue, their whole goal is aiming to help companies make smarter hiring decisions and do that virtually. So entering the whole world of virtual interviews, which is sort of a new environment to many. So I work in a sales capacity for them. And I have been, like I said, for about a year and a half. But prior to that, I was working for another company that in the ERP space. If you guys are familiar, if anybody's familiar with ERP, it's really expensive record keeping and supply chain software. I spent about a year there and it was a good experience. It just wasn't one that was for me. But prior to that, I spent probably the longest stretch in the recent years of my career. I spent about 4 years consulting with companies on sales and marketing strategy. And so all through that, I've kind of been in and out of the remote and in fact, I don't ever have to go on site with customers. And so we do everything remotely, the whole company does, and
So, which brings me to my next question in regards to doing sales remotely. Have you been like focused towards doing sales remotely the whole time, or you used to be an in-person sales individual who eventually became doing sales remotely? And how was the transition like, and how was the experience like?
Yeah, good question. So I have mostly been located out of the Salt Lake City office. And most of what I have done historically at HireVue has been remote. Now, we had teams that would go in person and meet with customers. But even then, it was still somewhat few and far between, right? You have to balance travel with opportunity. But in the whole shift to virtual and how every company has really been forced to do that, it's been kind of interesting to see the transition and how things have played out. So I always laugh when, you know, we get on a call with maybe a VP of HR, right, who's a common person that I would work with. And they've got kids running around in the background or they've got, you know, big bulky headphones on, things that you wouldn't typically expect. And so it's been a little bit of a shift in that way. But it's something that everybody has adopted. And so it's become really the new norm that I hate to say that because everybody says that and uses that word. But it's been an interesting shift. Now, like I said, because I've been essentially fully remote in a lot of ways, because I have calls with customers or prospects, that is, and customers as well, remotely. But because we don't have the team that goes in person, we've kind of been forced to adapt to a new strategy about the way that we meet with customers and prospective customers and how they go through their life cycle with us, right? And how they buy from us. I think everybody is kind of in the same boat in a lot of ways, but it's kind of been an interesting journey as even I shift from, you know, we'll say mostly remote to fully remote.
So, which brings me to the next question in regards to how have you seen the difference, you know, in the teams transitioning and learning how to hire smartly remotely, and what are the learnings that you can share with us? What are the key tricks and things like those?
Yeah, so one of the interesting things, so kind of, you know, when I was initially, one of your questions was, you know, what have I been doing? And I kind of talked about what HireVue does, but to kind of give a little bit more context to that, HireVue is a platform that helps people make smarter hiring decisions. And so being able to interview candidates remotely, and if you, the best way to explain it is if you think of Microsoft Teams or Zoom, but purpose built for interviewing, that's essentially what the basis of what HireVue is, right? And so now when you move into a place where companies are forced to even interview people remotely, they kind of have to figure out how to do that, right? How logistically to do that, how to do it smarter. And does the environment look the same as it used to? In other words, we used to be really focused on, historically, I'm talking the global world of recruiting, you know, persona in terms of, you know, how people present themselves, which is still important. Don't get me wrong, it's still important. But when we're talking about roles such as, we'll take a high volume hourly type roles for a minute, right? Those make up a huge number of hires across the country. And when you can't invite those people into an office to interview them in person, or even have them give you a resume or an application in person, how do you go about doing that remotely? And how do you make a smarter decision through that huge candidate pool for people that might fit the role? And that's really what HireVue does. So it tries to take away some of the legwork that you know could be used, I guess, or could be employed in trying to figure out who fits. And it does a lot of that for you. And there's a lot of background science behind it and IO psychology. But really the kind of nuts and bolts behind the answer to your question is that there are ways to do it. And technology has been a huge piece of people being able to do it smarter.
Got. So, and the adaptability towards technology, the transition, the comfort level, I foresee that most of the companies have adapted towards it, right? In the last 6 to 8 months, they've been forced to adapt towards it. And now people have become more and more receptive towards even global hiring, you know, hiring across borders and things like that. So in your experience, have you seen this difference also happening that people are engaging with teams across different time zones and everything? And based on your learnings, you know, what are the key things that keeps a team together? You know, previously it used to be over pizzas or beers and stuff like that, but what keeps the teams together now in the digital world?
Yeah, so really good question. And kind of to illustrate that, I was actually looking at a prospective customer of ours the other day. And when I went to go apply for a role there, just to see how they were doing things today, they actually had a little category that said virtual. And what they were saying, what they were showing and they were highlighting was all of the roles and the open positions that they were hiring for that were completely virtual. And so a lot of companies have done that, right? It's turned into not just hiring in Salt Lake City, Utah, or, you know, somewhere in Southern California, to completely remote. And so it could be cross borders. It could be, you know, another state over. It could be to adapt. And where, you know, there's a higher number of job seekers. And so talent in general is just harder to find. And so they have to kind of look outside the box a little bit and figure out ways to identify candidates otherwise and wherever, whatever geography they might be. Now there's some industries that can't ever really go remote, or I guess some roles I should say, you know, you think, you know, in the instance I gave earlier of some of those hourly roles or some customer service type roles, those will never really fully be remote. But some of them will, right? If you're talking customer service in terms of call center, you could certainly be in a call center, but you could also be remote just as easy. And a lot of companies have done exactly that. But then you start to, you know, ask the question of how do you, you know, I guess bond as a team? How do you connect as a team? And it's definitely a lot harder. I know that for me, I'm a social guy, right? And so shifting from being able to walk down the hallway to somebody else's desk and say hello and ask them how the weekend was and how the family is, turns into something like a Slack call or a Teams call. And I remember when I first went virtual, I used to call people on my team and even people that weren't on my team that I used to chat with in the office. And I think some people thought it was disingenuous at first because it wasn't something that we were accustomed to, right? It wasn't something that you would normally do, just call somebody and chat. But at the same time, how do you connect you know, and how do you have that human connection? And that was a little bit difficult to kind of gather. I think companies at large have to figure out how to do that better. And I think it gets exponentially harder the bigger the team gets. And so it's a challenge that I think that we've all got to figure out how to do. I don't necessarily have the answer, but I know that that's been something that you know, I myself and others on my team have tried to do to adopt and kind of adapt.
So, which brings me to my next question in regards to better productivity personally, you know. So since the pandemic, you mentioned that you're a very social guy, right? For me, it's the same, right? But, you know, due to pandemic, we've all been forced to stay at home, right? So what personal different routines you've adopted in your daily routines that make you much more productive, as well as work-wise, as well as also taking care of your mental health?
Yeah, and that's been a tough one, I think, for a lot of people because, you know, for me, I had a relatively short commute. And so, you know, for me, I out of working 100% remote, I probably gained maybe 30 or 45 minutes a day. Now that story may be different for somebody in, you know, the Bay Area where their commute might be an hour and a half each way or 2 hours each way or, you know, New York City even. And so for me, it wasn't a huge impact that way, but for some people, all of a sudden they've got a lot of this extra time in the day. And that doesn't always translate into productivity, especially when, you know, just in the case of someone like myself, I have an 8-month-old at home, right? And I can constantly hear her in the other room or upstairs. And that's hard when you try to figure in how to be productive and strategies to be productive while maintaining some of that work-life balance. And many, many people, their workload has gone up. I'm one of those, right? And part of that is because of the industry that I'm in. You know, remote hiring never went away. It just got bigger. And so I got busier as that increased. But productivity is still something that is hard to manage, even when I'm really busy, right? It's easy to walk in the other room and want to say hi to my daughter and watch her crawl and you know, feed her lunch. But you have to figure out a way to manage the work-life balance a little bit. And what I mean by that is, you know, maybe your day starts a little bit earlier because you don't have the commute, but, you know, you take more breaks throughout the day, for more shorter breaks to go, you know, see your daughter or run to the store or go get lunch, those types of things that we probably, in many cases, some of those things we probably took for granted previously, right? Going to lunch, for example, talking with your teammates, but now they become almost a necessity to increase your productivity. And productivity is hard to manage anyway, remotely, just because, you know, some things are measurable, but some things are not. And it's something that, you know, I don't necessarily have all the answers to. I know how I've adapted to it, but I can only imagine how many companies are still trying to figure out how to manage productivity remotely for so many different roles.
Got it. Last piece of question, Braden. What advice would you give to other individuals or youngsters who are just starting out and started during the pandemic and got hit by multiple turbulences, recession, talks of recession and the pandemic and stuff, especially the ones who want to pursue a career similar to yours? You know, what advice would you give to them?
Yeah, so for me, I think that's actually probably an easy question. And I would say that, you know, make LinkedIn your friend. And when I say that, that doesn't have to mean, you know, I'm in the world of sales. I use LinkedIn all the time to talk to my prospects and customers. But you can use LinkedIn to build connections and meaningful connections. And especially in a world where we've been forced to become fully remote, and in many cases, it's not going to go away, we can leverage tools like that to help build meaningful connections and springboard your career. So start connecting with people that you might find influential or that you have a mutual benefit by connecting with them. You know, maybe you've got some connections that they might be interested in. Maybe they're a part of a group on LinkedIn that is a group that you want to be a part of and learn more from this person and others like them. That's probably the biggest thing. I think where, you know, just in the world of professional careers that we're all in here, LinkedIn can be used in whatever medium you want it to be used in, right? It doesn't matter if you're talking about development and software development. It doesn't matter if you're talking about going into enterprise sales. It's almost always a benefit. And so I would say that's probably the number one thing to take advantage of. And the second thing would probably be figure out a routine, if you will, that helps you be productive. Just kind of going back to your last question, you know, people that are maybe new to this might have a harder time adapting. And I think it takes a little bit of trial and error to figure out how to operate in that capacity. And I think some of those, you know, people that are maybe students that are coming out of school and looking for, you know, after, you know, following their education to get into a career, they're probably used to that to some degree, but it's very different in many cases in the professional world. And so those are two things that I would say: leverage LinkedIn for connections and personal connections and you know, business and professional connections, but also just get into a routine.
Okay, got it. Braden, thank you so much for being on the show. I'm pretty sure we could have talked for another half an hour, but my marketing team, they just forced me to keep these podcasts within 8 to 12 minutes. Thank you so much for being on the show, and take care of yourself.
Appreciate it. Thank you.